Hi, I'm Dr. Holly Tett, and with over a decade working in clinical psychology and dog behaviour, I've built my business into a small but mighty empire, allowing me to help thousands of dogs and their people each year. And the best bit? I'm no longer burning myself out in the process. And now I'd love to help you to do the same. This is the first dog trainer podcast to delve into the real talk when it comes to working as a dog professional, the highs, the lows, and how to provide emotional support for the dog, the human caregiver, and also for you, the trainer. So if you're a force-free dog pro who cares deeply for the dogs and people that you help, you are in the right place. Welcome to Training Dogs, Training People, and Keeping Our Together. Hi everybody, and welcome back to Training Dogs, Training People, and Keeping Our Shit Together. My name is Dr. Holly Tett. If you're new to the podcast, then welcome, and if you aren't new, then welcome to you too. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a big topic, and that is the statement: if you're not taking care of your mental health, you're not taking care of your business. Now, I don't think many people out there would go, "What a load of rubbish, what are you talking about?" I think most of us know this on some level. We know that mental health is important. And I think in 2022, at the time of this recording, we are now the most progressed society has ever been in terms of talking about mental health, thinking about mental health, being trauma informed in the way that we work with people and the way that we relate to people. However, we aren't there just yet. So taboos still exist when it comes to mental health. There is a lot of stigma out there still. There's a lot of kind of people feeling like they accept mental health, so saying, "Yeah, totally, I totally understand that you've got mental health difficulties." But then the second you show symptoms of those mental health difficulties, it then becomes very scary for people. And I think it's scary because it's still not fully understood. Whereas someone can see a leg in a cast and say, "You've broken your leg, that's awful," and it's a visual representation right there in front of them. Often something that is inside someone's mind, no matter how well they describe it in words, it's much harder for people to conceptualize. And let's talk about depression. So even if you have had depression, or you have depression, you experience periods of depression, your depression is not going to be the same as John's depression or Sarah's depression over there. It's going to feel different. It's going to look different. It's going to have a different support system or lack of support system. There's so much individual difference, just like a bone will never heal in the exact same way for John as it does for Sarah, exactly the same what's going on inside our minds. So although we're making progress, I think there's still so much that needs to be done thinking about mental health in the workplace, and especially when you have your own business, because it's on you. In the workplace, you may or may not have supportive managers, supervisors. You may or may not have a workplace that provides support for mental health needs or allows mental health days and things like that. But there is usually some kind of structure or some kind of HR in place in those moments. But when you run your own business, it's really on you to put those structures in place and to be disciplined enough to say, "I need a mental health day, I need a mental health week, I need a vacation, I need to not be doing this right now, or I need to slow down, I need to take less people, I need to think about how to systematize my business so that I'm in a better place to be able to look after myself mentally." So there's one thing saying, "Yeah, mental health is important," but it's another thing actually putting that into practice, and especially when you've got your own business. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the first thing I want to mention is actually thinking about the brain itself, because when we are business owners, especially if you're new to business, you are doing a heck of a lot of learning. So you are learning, you are developing, you are understanding new ideas, new concepts, and this can look different. So you might be someone that is new to training and you're doing lots of courses and learning and understanding about dog behavior and different types of methodologies and techniques and things to do working with dogs, working with people. That may not be you, but you may be someone who's looking to take your business online or to grow your business. So you're actually learning business techniques and strategies. You're learning about email lists and marketing and Facebook ads and Instagram growth and reels and all the things that you have to do to build your audience and to reach more people. Or you might be someone that's pivoting. So maybe you've always worked with working Cocker Spaniels, and now you're like, you know what, actually, I think I can branch out a little bit. So you're thinking, how do I pivot my business to also work with other types of dogs, when actually everyone in my audience, everyone that knows me for working with Cocker Spaniels? How do I make that shift without losing all these people? And how do I reach these new people? So whatever it is, we're constantly learning, constantly developing. And if you think about it, most of us, it's not everyone, but most of us have done kind of similar-ish jobs before we learned to be dog trainers. So if you are this is your first job, then fantastic. But lots of people pivot to do dog training. So they might have been a lawyer, a doctor, a receptionist, an admin person, a dentist, a mechanic, anything at all. And then they've pivoted to this career. So often we haven't actually gone through big periods of learning for many years. So the last time that we did, we were probably quite a bit younger. If you went to high school, you were maybe a teenager last time. If you went to college, you were a young adult, possibly, unless you did years and years of university like a mad person like I did. But even then, I was still quite young when I finished. What do we do when we're teenagers and we're learning and we're developing? We sleep all the time. So there's a reason that teenagers are lying in until 12 p.m. on a Saturday and a Sunday. Yes, a large part of that is to do with their brain still growing and developing, but it's also because they're taking in huge amounts of information and they're processing and learning that stuff. That's why children and teenagers need more sleep than adults do for the most part. But if you're training your now slightly older brain to learn and take in new information all the time, you've also got to rest more. You've got to sleep more, you've got to recuperate more, because otherwise, if you don't, what starts to happen? Well, we start to feel low in mood, we start to feel lethargic, anxious. Oh my gosh, I'm doing all this stuff, but what's next? What's next? Really starting to get hyper focused on the future, panicking about where your business is going to go and what you're going to do. So having that rest time is really, really important. The other thing that's super important is knowing that you are special in the nicest possible way. You are different from John that did it this way and Sarah that did it that way, to take our names from earlier. So just because you see someone else's business and they have done this, this, and this in this order, it does not mean that you have to do it in that order. And I'd actually recommend you don't. Where lots of people go wrong, especially when it comes to online businesses, is they copy. So they copy usually marketing strategies. So for example, I do lots of challenges in my business. So 5-day challenges, helping people out with a certain thing for 5 days, and then usually offer them the opportunity to work in one of my courses or programs at the end of the 5 days. So someone new could come along and say, oh, Holly does 5-day challenges, so I'm going to copy that and then I'll get the same results that she does. Except they don't know everything that goes into building that challenge. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that I've practiced for years and honed and changed and tried to get the best possible formula so that I can really help people get results in those 5 days. Because there's no point in people coming and doing the challenge and being like, oh, well, that I learned nothing. I actually want people to be able to go away from that 5 days, whether they join my course or not, and say, yeah, I've got something I can actually action and make my life better for me and my dog. So there's that side of things, actually thinking about the content of that challenge. There's also the back end, all the technology that goes into making that run smoothly. So the process of how people register for the challenge, how they get tagged within my email system, how emails go out to certain groups of people depending on what they're registered for, and the process of the actual challenge itself, all the technology behind that, the timings of things, the support that I've got. So if people are having technical problems, I've got a team behind me that can step in, because I'm not available 24 hours a day. There's huge amounts that go into everything behind it. So often I see people feeling so demoralized because they said, oh, well, I saw this person do this and I tried to do the same in my own way and it didn't work, and I don't know why. That's why. So when you're thinking about mental health, it's not just about what do I need to have my bubble bath and my nice walk or my cup of tea, but it's actually thinking about how you structure your business and the support that you get, so that you can actually put forward your ideas in the way that you want to, but in a way that's got the support behind it in order for it to be successful. So that's really, really important. Okay. The other side of it is a little bit more of a practical thing. So most of us, some of us have got teams and things, but most of us work predominantly on our own. So you maybe work from home if you've got an online business. You maybe are a dog walker or a groomer. Maybe you work on your own, you do mobile grooming, or you've got one other person. If you're a dog trainer, perhaps you're going and doing one-to-ones at people's houses for an hour or so, and then they're gone and you go back home. It can be lonely. So there's pros and cons to working at home. I personally love working from home. However, there are times where I think, oh, it'd be lovely to have an office full of people to chat to. I do have a team, but they're all over the world. So we can have Zoom chats and we do have group meetings, but it's not the same as just swiveling around on your chair and talking to your mate behind you that you can just say, oh, do you want a cup of coffee? Should we go for a quick walk or whatever it is? So keep that in mind as well. If you are someone that benefits from having people around you, how can you make that part of your experience? So it may be that during the working day, between the hours of 9 and 2, or however long you work, you don't have that. But then can you actually make the effort to see friends, to spend time with family or neighbours or groups or whomever it might be in your life, to actually give yourself that social contact content? Because if you don't have that contact with other people, that's when it starts to feel a little bit lonely, and that's when things like depression and anxiety can start to rear their head as well. The other thing to think about is having people who get it as well. So join Facebook groups for business, join Facebook groups that talk about doing this special thing about marketing, look at Instagram people that do that, join courses and memberships that support dog trainers. Because let's be honest, I'm going to talk about one of my friends. He probably won't listen to this, so I think it's okay. So he's a banker, he works in mortgages, and he's one of my best friends. I care deeply about him. So when he's had a bad day, I am very happy to listen to him talk about his crap day. However, when he goes into the minutiae about mortgages and the finances, I must admit, my eyes do glaze over. It's not my thing. It's not a job that I would want to do. And I'm sure it's the same the other way around. So I might have had a rubbish day at work, but I limit how much I talk to him about online marketing, because that's not interesting to him. I limit how much I talk to him about behavioral training with dogs, because again, not that interesting to him. So you want to have people in your corner that get it. So I have a small group of fantastic friends that I met through various business ventures. We did training together, or we've met in certain groups, and I value those friendships. I can send a voice note to my friend Michelle and say, oh my gosh, this thing happened with my dog training course and it was an absolute nightmare. All the tech went everywhere. Shout out to you, Michelle, if you're listening. And she will be able to empathize with me because she gets it. Okay, so having those people is really, really important as well. The other thing you want to think about is your time, because time is the one thing that's finite. It's the one thing that you can't get back. So you can always make more money. You can always add new services. You can always move location. You can always start your business again from scratch if you want to. The one thing you can't get back is the time that you spend on things. So if you're finding yourself working till midnight, taking on that person that wants to do a session at 10 p.m. or 7 a.m. even though you're knackered and you need your sleep, and I'm guilty of this. There's often these episodes are more me talking to myself than talking to you guys, because I'm definitely guilty of this, taking on too much, wanting to do everything, providing services in the hope of helping and reaching as many people as possible. Try to just be a little bit careful with that. If you're having a period in your life where you feel like you're more able to, then you go for it. But don't run yourself into the ground, because at the end of the day, for the most part, most people see a dog trainer for a short amount of time. So it may be slightly inconvenient for them to do a, 6 p.m. appointment when they'd rather do a 10:30 appointment. But if it's important enough to them, they will do it. And even if they can't, there will be someone else that can come and do your 10:30 appointment. So do it. Appointments is just one example, but try and structure your business in such a way that it feels like
it's beneficial to you primarily, and then to everyone else secondarily. Because yes, we want to help people, and if you're anything like me, you really care about the people you work with and the dogs, and you want to make it as easy as possible for them to work with you. But your health, and especially your mental health, comes first. If you are running yourself into the ground, burning the candle at both ends, what's going to happen? There's going to be some kind of a breakdown. And then you're not going to be able to help anyone. So that's really, really important as well. And you might be thinking, oh, well, Holly, that's all very well and good, but I need the money. I need to take every appointment I can get. Okay, I get that. I've been there, believe me. However, there's still things you can do to help with that. Can you up your prices a little bit? Can you offer something a little bit extra that people can have as an add-on? It doesn't have to be your time that suffers in that way. Okay. If you do find yourself repeating the same old patterns, so saying, I'm going to be better at my time management, for example, and then inevitably we find ourselves in the same situation, I would really recommend thinking about being super intentional with how you run your business. So it's very easy for your business to start running you. You're thinking, oh, I'm really resentful of all these things I've got to do on a Monday evening when I want to sit on my sofa and have a glass of wine. I don't really want to do this now. Well, that is on you, unfortunately. So you need to start being a little bit more proactive rather than reactive. And this is something I say to dog training clients all the time. How can we be proactive? How can we help the dog before they need helping rather than reacting to the situation when it's happening? I'm sure lots of you will have said that to your clients as well, but it's important for business too. So if you know that when it gets to the end of the month, every single month, and bills are coming out in a week, and you're like, I don't have enough money, and you start to do something reactive, like doing a big sale and slashing your prices, or doing that training course that you hate doing, but you know it's going to bring in a couple of £100 and save you in your finances. Okay, so what can I do now at the beginning of the month, 4 weeks in advance of this problem happening? What can I do now to increase revenue in my business so that I'm not putting myself in that difficult position again in 3 or 4 weeks' time? And that question is a big one. And in all honesty, it can feel scary, but the beauty of having your own business is you can do whatever the heck you want. So experiment, try new things, find the things that light you up. Do you like doing online workshops? Do you like doing courses? Do you like giving people something to go away and do on their own and check in with you? Or do you like to be right in there holding their hand and supporting them? Do you like to do group classes? Do you like to do one-to-ones? Do you prefer to teach sport for dogs? Or are you more interested in behaviour? Find what works for you and really hone in on that. Look at how you can make that your playground, essentially, rather than grasping at straws thinking, oh, I better do that thing again because I don't really want to do it, but it brings in the cash. So getting that balance is important as well when it's thinking about our well-being, and especially those levels of resentment that start to creep in a little bit as well. The other thing that's really important, and self-care is such a buzzword, I know it's a massive buzz phrase and we get a bit sick of hearing about it, but for me, self-care isn't the bubble baths and the walks. It may well be, and if that's your bag, fantastic, you go for it. But for me, it's more about giving myself permission to take a break. And the break could be scrolling through Instagram stories. The break could be going for a walk with my dog. The break could be, I'm not going to answer my emails tomorrow. I'm going to put an out of office on. It could be anything you like. It could be, I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm going to take a sick day. I'm going to take a mental health day. I need a break. I'm going to go to the beach with the dogs. I'm going to go see a friend. We're going to go to the theatre. I'm going to lie in bed all day and eat chocolate and drink a cup of tea. Like, whatever it looks like for you. It's allowing yourself permission to do those things and not lying. So not calling your client and saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I've got COVID, or oh, I'm really sorry, I've got the flu, saying, hi, I'm really sorry, I'm taking a mental health day. You don't have to say, I am experiencing this, this, and this. They don't need to know the details, but you can say, I'm having a mental health day, and being comfortable with that. modeling, actually, that's okay. That's normal. That's part of looking after ourselves. And it's not easy. It is not easy. We were talking about stigma a little bit earlier. There's still huge stigma when it comes to saying, I need some help for my mental health, or I need a break for my mental health. And this is a bit of a tangent, but it's something I feel really passionate about, so I'm going to talk about it briefly. So I think now we're much more accepting of things like low mood, depression, anxiety. I think we're still less accepting of saying, oh, I've got bipolar disorder symptoms today, or I'm hearing voices and they're really intense today, or I self-harm today, I've got suicidal thoughts today, I don't want to be here today. They're topics that people go, oh, whoa, that's a bit intense. And again, I don't think you need to say that to your clients, because that puts them in a bit of a difficult position. Well, should I do something? But being able to say to yourself, I'm having schizophrenia symptoms today, or I'm having anxiety symptoms today, and I need some time for myself, and I need some time to feel safe again, and so I'm going to take a mental health day. I think that can be wonderful. And it's something that I've really struggled with personally, in terms of being able to say I'm taking a mental health day. But I did something which was really scary about a month ago. And I did take 3 days as mental health days. And I put a pop-up on my website saying, hello there, we're taking a mental health day, because I gave it to my whole team. I was like, let's all take one. Why not? 3 days off. We will contact you on Friday. And that is super important, because by setting expectations, you're not just leaving it open-ended, but you're saying someone will get back to you next week on Friday. And then people are like, okay, fine. And all this is doing is modelling a better society and a better way of being, and allowing ourselves to say, I need a break, and that's okay. Okay, couple more points before we finish after my little tangent. I would really advise remembering on those days where you want to push yourself and you know you shouldn't, but you think you're absolutely exhausted, but you're like, oh, come on, let's go. Remind yourself that if you run yourself into the ground and you burn yourself out, you are not going to be the best version of yourself to be able to support others. You're not going to be able to be there when your child needs you. You're not going to be able to be there when your dog training client needs you. You're not going to be able to be there when your dog needs you. If you want to be able to be the best you can possibly be and to help as many dogs and their people as possible, you have to look after yourself. Like it or not, you have to look after yourself. And the best way of doing that is to surround yourself, as I said before, with a community of people, different types of people. So a community of people, friends, colleagues from the past, relationships, whatever it might be, partners, children who couldn't care less about dog training, but who've got your back in other areas. And also a community of people who do get what it's like to be a dog trainer or behaviorist, and the ups and downs that comes with that.